Hi everyone, my name is Darren Griffith and you're very welcome to the 18th episode of the Lusk Athletic Club podcast. Thanks as always for listening. Please also like, share, follow and subscribe. Also, a reminder to check out some of the great content in our many previous episodes if you're new to the podcast. So moving on to this episode, we're absolutely delighted to have David Gillick and Claire Davis as guests on the podcast. Also, stay tuned as we will finish with some vox pops from the recent Lusk 4 Mile race, which are really great fun. So next up, we have my interview with David Gillick. So hi everyone, I'm delighted to be joined by David Gillick as a guest on the podcast. David is a very well-known former Irish international 400 metre athlete who won numerous medals during his career, including a World Indoor 4x400 metre relay bronze medal and two European indoor 400 metre golds. So more recently, David has become very well known on the Irish road running circuit. So thanks very much for agreeing to speak to us, David.
Yeah, no problem at all. Glad to be here.
Great, yeah, we really appreciate it at Lusk. So look, usually we ask people at the start to introduce themselves or maybe tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, well, you've kind of done a good job already. I suppose, yeah, former European indoor champion, Olympian. And now, yeah, avid endurance roadrunner junkie. And born and raised in Dublin, would have represented Ireland at all the major championships, including the Worlds and Olympics and Europeans and stuff like that. And probably a 10-year period that defined me as a track runner. And now here I am, many moons later. Just kind of enjoying my running all over again.
Yeah, fantastic. It just struck me when I was prepping for an interview, like, is it strange that we'll probably spend a lot of time talking about road running, given... All the fantastic experiences you've had at track running?
Like, I'd like to think I don't have an ego and I don't have to always relate back to things that I did 15, 10, 20 years ago. And it's nice to be talking about stuff that I'm enjoying right now, and it keeps me present. So it's not going back to 2005, 2007, which were obviously great years for me. It's kind of the here and now, and it's great to be doing something that I enjoy, but also resonates with so many other people. And I've been very fortunate with the opportunities that have come my way, even when I was competing at kind of full-time athletics, but also since that as well. So, it's kind of one of the, like, sometimes it's nice not to talk about or not be defined by that, 15, 20 years ago. Yeah. And it's nice to maybe be a bit more relevant today in what I'm doing.
Yeah, super. And I think then a lot of people can relate to your journey as well on your road running, because they're on the same journey, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's like, you know, even like last week doing a 4 Mile in Lusk and then over the weekend, Bohemian. Like, I have to say, like, the amount of people that would come up and say, I follow you, or I follow the journey. And, you know, one lad in particular was like, oh, you're a year ahead of me on the journey. You know, I start and I'm a year behind you, and I can see, and it's very inspiring and motivation. And that's nice. And another fella say, oh, off the back of your social media posts, I went down and bought a Nutribullet and start making post-training recovery smoothies, you know. And it's nice because, again, it's very, like, running can be very new to people, and it can be a bit like, what do I do? What shoes do I buy? What kit do I wear? How do I train? What do I eat? You know, all these simple things. And I suppose by just sharing experiences, it gives me a kick, and hopefully it's helping other people.
Oh, 100%. There's a massive appetite for information on yeah, running and nutrition and so on. I mean, actually, we met twice. We hadn't actually met before, but we met twice over the last two weekends because you ran the Lusk 4 Mile, yeah, and then Bohemian yesterday. So I'd love to just hear how you got on it. First of all, maybe the Lusk 4 Mile, did you enjoy it? Or
I suppose the way kind of, like, I did Dublin obviously last year, and then kind of tired after Dublin. I got COVID in December. I got the vomiting bug. Jeez. The following week. And I probably missed a good chunk of December in terms of training. And then Christmas and all the everything that comes with that. My wife's from the UK, so we spend Christmas over there. So I had a bit of time to get back into training. So I didn't really know what I was going to plan for in the early part of 2024. But I did Raheny 5 Mile. And then I got, obviously you guys kindly invited me up to Lusk, and I was like, perfect, I'll do Lusk, nice 4 mile. I wasn't that happy with the way Rahini went. I was a bit nervous. Not nervous, but I was a little bit like, I didn't really know where I was at, so I kind of just got around without actually pushing it, and I felt good, but I was a little bit like, right, I've Lusk now to aim for, and 4 mile, perfect. You know, it's not a 5K where you just go hell for leather. There's a little bit more to it. And I have to say, it was a great event. Loved it. Loved the course. Loved the atmosphere. It was great. I loved the loop course. When you come back in, there's a lot of buzz. There's people. Yeah, there's music. And I felt really good. Like a bit of kind of the madness at the start. I didn't expect to go out that fast, but you know, everyone does. Yeah, and yeah. I kind of pulled back the second. I go in K's now, so I know it's 4 mile, but
I'm a K man as well.
I was in K's, so the second K, I kind of pulled that back a little bit. But then I felt good for the remainder and kind of picked it up a little bit, and came home pretty strong. And that kind of told me that, like, you know what, boom, yeah, I'm where I want to be in terms of the numbers. And then kind of had Bo Hermine then the following week.
So plugging your Lusk 4 mile time into a McMillan calculator.
That's what you do, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
and I was
works well.
I was trying to relate that back to, okay, well, what would I have done for a 5 mile, and you know, what does that mean then? But you know, the funny thing is with running is, like, you know, I averaged 3:30 a K in Lusk, and I was like, you know, now I'm going to approach a half marathon and I'm going to go to, like, you know, start off at 3:50. I was like, that's only 20 seconds, you know, and I have to go like from 4 mile to 13 mile, you know, and you're trying to compute that in your head, you know. But no, overall, loved Lusk. It was great, and definitely hope to do it next year as well. Just great, like, yeah. The course had a bit of everything in it. And it's exciting, and that's kind of what you want, you know,
definitely,
just get you back into it.
Yeah. So that set you up nicely for Bormeen. I met you again at Bormeen yesterday. Yeah, it was a great race. Really enjoyed
it.
Yeah,
I loved it. Yeah. Again, like, I know it was wet, but a bit breezy, but I take that over, like, strong winds.
Oh, 100%.
I think what I found with Bo Hermine was there was good strength in depth in terms of the people that did it, so you were never overly isolated, and I think that worked well. Like, my approach was right, start at like first K, couple of K's again, go out at 3:50, see where I'm at, and then try and kind of improve from there. And that's exactly what I did. I probably started too far back, and a bit of kind of meandering to get around people. And but I think that probably served me well.
It puts
then
manners on you at the start.
It does, yeah. Whereas sometimes if you go up the front, or not up the very front, but, you know, more to the front, you can get swept away with people that are maybe a little bit quicker than you. So, yeah, kind of just picked it up from there. And then I think I averaged 3:46 and came in at, kind of, to be honest with you, like, I don't know what it is, but, like, I'd like to think I'm an intelligent person, but when I'm running, I can't do maths.
I'm insane.
I can't do maths. And I was looking at the average, and on my watch as well, more recently, I've switched the kind of the watch face to just lap time. You know, I don't go by average, because I find I get really, it's just there's too much information. So I just go by lap, and if I can keep repping out the 3:47s, 3:46s, and then I thought somewhere, maybe around 1:20. And it was only when I came into onto the track for the last 100 metres, and, like, I wear contact lenses, so, like, you know, they're misting up, and you're trying to look at the clock above the finish, and I could see 1:01 something, and I was just like, jeez. I absolutely dropped the hammer in the last 100 metres to get there. But 1:19:30 I finished in. And I have to say, like, you know, what I really love about, like, the endurance kind of running or road running is we all get to those moments where you're battling with yourself in a race. And, you know, there's people passing you and one lad coming up and stuff like this on your shoulder. And, like, it's the mental sort of challenge of, like, oh, I can't do this. But you rally, you know, you find something. And, you know, you're really hurting in the last 3 mile yesterday. But yet, like, you just grind it out and you grab onto someone's heels. And I just love that. That's the thing about kind of racing that I've always loved. That's that grit and trying to just get to that line. And, you know, even when I finished and I was walking back and people coming through, like, it's the same feeling for people that are on the front to the people that are at the back of a field. It's the same emotions and the same grind and the same thought process. So it doesn't matter if you're running, you know, 70 minutes or you're running, you know, 2 hours. We all go through the same emotions, and that's
definitely
what I love about it, you know.
Definitely. There's always someone faster or slower, and we're
always
all just doing our best.
Always, yeah.
Absolutely. So I'm going to move on to maybe talking a little bit about kind of moving from track to road running. And obviously, you had incredible success as a track athlete, but can you kind of tell us a little bit about retiring from athletics. Is that a big adjustment? Maybe that's a tricky question. Only tricky question I have for you, to be honest.
But. Yeah, look, that's mild in terms of the questions I've been asked before. But I think, when I initially retired, I'm retired now 11 years from, I suppose, professional athletics, if you want to call it that. Couple of injuries, as I was approaching 30, wasn't racing, couldn't race, wasn't making any money from the sport, lost my funding, lost my sponsors, which is all part of the game. And it just got to a point where I was like, I had just torn my Achilles after subs, like I probably had about 3 soleus tears, all in the space of like maybe 3 seasons. So I wasn't racing. And I was in Australia at the time, and I just said, you know what, I'm done with this. Like, I've had enough. Body just can't do it, So I retired, and then, I've been open about this. I struggled, I completely struggled. Change of everything, change of environment, move back home. You're trying to then reconnect with people that you grew up with, people who now are in jobs, and just kind of two completely different worlds collide. And I found that really hard. I found it hard to kind of integrate just back into the real world. Didn't have a purpose, identity. Who was I? I'm not the runner anymore, so what am I? So even that sort of where do I get my confidence from? Like, athletics was now gone. So, I didn't have a job. I didn't have any kind of title. What do you do? I didn't have a title. I wasn't earning any money. So all of that kind of all came to the fore, and I struggled with it. And I panicked, took the first job. And then kind of after the year, packed that in, got a new job. I was searching. I was searching for something to fill that void. I wasn't exercising. I went back and I played a bit of GA with my local club, which was grand. Enjoyed it. Ballantyre St. John's. But as far as athletics was concerned, hated it. And I hated the sport. I resented it. Didn't want to be involved in it. Didn't want to talk about it. Didn't want to watch it. And then I had no appetite to ever get back into running. But probably 2 years, nearly 3 years after I retired, I realised, I needed professional help. So I got, I started going to counselling in 2016. And then through that, began to kind of understand a little bit more about the journey that I was on and why I was feeling a certain way. And actually running started again in that phase. I started doing my local park run. Again, I was out the back, I was blowing, I was in bits. And I can remember being welcomed up to my local park run, Marley Park, and one lad was like, "Oh, Gillick, you should win this," because people had this concept that because I ran at a high level over 400 meters, well then, you know what, I'm going to be world class at every event. It's like a different sport, even going from 400 to 800 is like a different sport. So it kind of coincided, I suppose, because I was beginning to talk a little bit about, what I was going through, and off the back of that, it began to kind of make sense of it all. And but I had no appetite to kind of run regular 5Ks. But then that kind of got me back into the track scene. I was then training Tuesday, Thursday. And then later on that year, I raced again, after a couple of years of not racing. And it was mainly the real reason was I wanted to go back and say goodbye to the sport on my terms, and that was quite important to me. And I did that, and I ran that season on the track, and we did okay, made the team for the Europeans. It was Olympic year, missed out on qualification for the Olympics, but it didn't matter to me, to be honest. And I had no desire then to continue anything, and I dabbled a little bit the following year, and then just kind of, we had a young family. We had Oscar was born in 2016. Things, priorities, and all that. So again, had no kind of desire to get involved or even do marathons or anything like that. But I was cycling a little bit. I got into kind of cycling, and then COVID and all that sort of cracking in subsequent years, and that's where I got into a kind of just going out with a couple of lads, just cycling, and one was Emmett Dunleavy.
Yeah.
And it was grand. I was doing a little bit of racing and cycling, a bit of cyclocross and stuff like that, but no, I had no structure, no routine, nothing. And I didn't like that because I'd usually always had routine. And then my wife used to run as well. She's from England. She used to run middle distance 8 and 15s. And I can remember saying to her, I'd go up and I'd do a few park runs and you'd dabble around in it, And then I was like, this is boring, I've no goal, I've no focus, I need something. And then I said, at the end of 2021, going into 2022, I was like, I'm going to do the marathon. And I remember Charlotte saying to me, my wife going, you're off your head. What are you talking about? I said, no, I'm going to do it. I need a goal. I need something. So that's when I said to Emmett, I was like, on a bike ride once.
So you knew he was a coach, obviously.
I would have known Emmett from growing up, and obviously in the Irish kind of athletic scene and stuff like that. And then I knew he was coaching people and all that. And then through the cycling, I was seeing him on a regular basis. And then one Sunday morning on a bike, I was like, right, Emmett, I need your help. And he said, why? He's like, well, what do you want? And I go, I want you to coach me. I'm going to do a marathon. And he was like, what? And I go, yeah, I want to break 3 hours for a marathon. that was the start of it all. And that was then early January 2022, gave me a bit of a plan. And I can remember my first run. Now, I'd never ran more than 5K.
Yeah.
And even at that, it wouldn't have been fast or anything. And he told me to go out for 25 minutes and keep my heart rate below 130 beats. And I think I was doing 6 minute plus pace. It was slow. And I remember coming back and ringing him going, I'm like an idiot running around, I'm plodding around. And he was like, you need to change your mindset. You have 0 miles, you have zero endurance. If you want to, do as you say, what you want to do, you need to start really small and build. And that was the start of it all.
Yeah, fantastic. I loved the fact that you had your experience with parkrun as well in the middle of all that.
Oh, yeah.
And then having Emmett Dunleavy as a pal, that worked out.
Yeah, it did work
pretty
out,
well.
Yeah.
And you covered off nicely maybe my next question, but obviously you've a very successful kind of coach athlete relationship now, and you also have your Instagram live broadcast, which we're all big fans of it in Lusk and beyond. But tell us a little bit about that. Is it good fun? Do you enjoy working it?
It was kind of one of these things that I suppose, with me, I'd have a bit of a love hate relationship with social media. Sometimes I can leave it and I don't go near it, and then other times you get stuck into it. But I think with the running with me, I just started to throw up stuff about going out for a run and what I was doing, and it kind of got a bit of traction and people seemed interested in it, and it's kind of organic for me. It's not I'm not trying to kind of I'm going for a run. I'm going for a run anyway, and it's kind of just educate people, I'm starting here, this is what I'm trying to do. And and again with Emmett, my relationship with Emmett would be, I wouldn't be on to him every day. He'd give me the program and I'd be good like that. I've always had a coach where if I'm told something to do, I'll go and I'll do it. So I wouldn't be kind of peppering him with questions and stuff like that. But I think what I kind of realized was that there was just a bit of an interest. And I think my journey, of trying to do a marathon and, even targeting 3 hours resonated with people. I wasn't trying to run 2.5 hours or 2:15. I was in and around that kind of 3 to 4 hour block, and I didn't know how this was going to go for me. And I think just kind of with Emmett as well, the structure and the plan, I was kind of putting out the sessions that I was trying to do, and those people were interested. And that's when I was like, well, maybe we do an Instagram live, and we started doing them, and it's a bit of crack, it's a bit of fun. We don't overly plan things, we kind of throw it out if there's any questions. And generally speaking, it's the same sort of things that people are asking, which is great, because they're the things that I'm asking. I don't know a whole lot about endurance running. Ask me something about 400 or sprinting, I'd be able to answer that. But in terms of kind of going up to half marathons and mileage and all that sort of crack, I wouldn't have a clue. So I'm very similar to other people who might be kind of new to this sort of world. And I didn't realise how big the roadrunner scene was in Ireland. And that's the honest truth. Yeah. I did not realise. I think when you're a track athlete, you're very cocooned in that world. And I just didn't realise how big it was and the interest and just the appetite that people had for kind of information in that space. And that's where the Instagram lives are good, a bit of crack, a bit of fun, and we get positive feedback. And that's the thing. If people are listening to them and kind of feel that there's good information in them, and even at Lusk and at Bohemian over the last 2 weeks, a lot of people going, loving the journey and following what you're doing and all that, and it's great. It makes you feel good.
That's it exactly. People can resonate with your journey. You're asking them with the questions that they want, and that they're feeding them into you as well. You can see why it's a winner.
I think that's it. Emmett's very knowledgeable in that space, and he's got good experience. And I suppose I'd like to think that on the practical level, that's me. So you have the theory and you have the practical. Yeah. So having the theory is one thing, but how do you actually fit that into your day, into your life, into a busy family? All that sort of stuff that is the reality for an awful lot of people.
Yeah, brilliant. All right, so we'll move on a little bit to the road running then.
Yeah,
So if you could race only one distance, what would that be?
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah. Do you know, half marathons are great. I like half marathons because it's not a marathon, of course, but you can get into a rhythm and into a groove. The 5K, it's probably the one that I'd struggle on the most is around 10K. I just last year, now look, I did my first marathon in 2022, 2023, then Dublin again. So I've only done two marathons, you know, and then in between that, I think Bohemian was my third fourth half marathon. So again, it's relatively new, but I find the 10K distance just hard to get right in terms of pacing.
Yeah.
Like the ones that I've done, I've messed up in the first couple of K, too fast, and then I'm gone. So I like the half marathon distance because you kind of get into nice groove and it's tough, but it's, you can do it, like, yeah, you know.
Just working hard for
yeah. Like in the 5K, like I did a good 5K last year in I think the Bob Heffernan one, which was good. But again, like it's the last K, you're just like, it's like the last 50 of a 400. You know what I mean? Your eyes are blurring.
Good stuff. So maybe the half then.
The half. Like I suppose the challenge with a marathon is that it just requires an awful lot more time.
Yeah.
And I think when you're kind of around work, life, kids, trying to fit the long runs in can be quite difficult. Whereas the half, probably somewhere like 10K to halves is a nice kind of area to aim for. But the ultimate challenge, of course, is the marathon. And that's the one you want to do to tick the box as well.
Definitely. Okay. Maybe your favorite race to date? So we'll leave you off besides the Lusk 4 mile, of course.
I mean that, like, what I liked about Lusk was that the course had a bit of everything, like a bit of the kind of the inclines, but they weren't long drags, and then you had the flat parts as well. It was a nice kind of nice route. Bohemian, have to say, was nice as well. I enjoyed it. There's actually even the Bob Heffernan, the 5K last year was good. Because it's all relatively new, like Dublin is the hardest, I think, to be fair. I think marathon wise, like the hills and up Roebuck and stuff like that, they are very testing. Dunshaughlin? Was it 10K last year? And everyone's like, oh, it's really fast, it's fast, it's fast. I think it's fast because of the people that show up, they're fast. But there was a hill up towards the finish and I struggled on that. But again, I went off like a lunatic. You swear I robbed the local shop. Yeah. The first K was just too quick. So
it's always warm in June as well for Dunshaughlin.
Yeah. I kind of messed that one up. But I don't know
we're spoiled for choice, really. Every weekend you could be out racing.
Every weekend you could be out racing. And even like there's 5Ks now in Tala this weekend, Paddy's Day. And I did the Mullingar one actually on Paddy, the half last year on Paddy's Day, which was a nice one as well.
Yeah,
so I think the reality is when you're looking at races to do, you want the kind of fast course, you want good people around you, and that's what worked well in my last two races, like particularly Bohemian as well. There was good group, and I think you need that.
Definitely. As soon as you said that, I was thinking about my race yesterday as well. You weren't, there was always someone around you could catch up with, tuck in with.
That's so important. Like, and I think like I ran fast yesterday. I was delighted with a sub 80 minutes. But the last 3 miles, I had people around me. And I had one lad in particular who we were like, come on, keep it going. And he was shouting at me to get on his heels. And, you know, even when someone says that, you just grind a bit more. Whereas if you're by yourself, it's very hard to just keep that high pace,
Okay, great stuff. And look, I think we're talking about your journey and so on, but like definitely the marathon training was the major interest for most people. And you broke sub-3 last year, which is fantastic. Mm. And it's a goal for many people.
Yeah.
Kind of what did you do differently really then between 22 and 23, I suppose?
I think that, like, again, to be brutally honest, it was just consistency.
Yeah.
You know, I knew 22 was always going to be like, you know, a stretch goal, sub-3, and it was really difficult. And I went off too fast. I didn't pace it right. I tried to kind of stick at, you know, sub-3 pace of what was of like 4:15 a K from the get-go, which was too hard for me, you know, and I blew up. I hit the 20 mile and I blew up, struggled. Now, it was very warm. Again, fueling, I probably under-fueled. So again, huge learning off that.
Yeah.
And I was determined, right, okay, I got to give it a go again, 2023. Biggest things I changed was, not that I changed, but I think my body was better equipped to take more miles. So I probably increased from, you know, going on a good week, maybe like, I was probably only doing 60K on a good week in year one. Year two, I was able to go up to like, you know, I was probably up maybe 70 first year, up to nearly 90 the second year.
Yeah.
So that's quite...
So 90 the year you broke. So
yeah, I was probably up like when you got into the real nitty gritty of the marathon specific work,
weeks.
I was up to like probably about 90K,
yeah.
90K plus. Whereas like an easier week, I was still probably hitting like, you know, 70 plus. And that would have been a big week the previous year. Or, yeah, the previous year. So I just think mileage was increased. Also, I was eating a lot better. I can't emphasize that enough. Like, you know, I would hazard a guess that the majority of people that are training for marathon are under fueling.
Yeah.
They're not eating enough. And that's going to impact you when you get into your 2 hours and your 2.5 hour runs. You just won't recover. Yeah. You simply just won't recover. I also think S&C. I started doing S&C with Peter Matthews. People might know Peter. He would have won national titles and stuff like that, cross country, and decent marathon runner as well. Started doing S&C stuff in all of last summer, once a week. Just basic exercises, bodyweight exercises, but like working on the knees, the hips, you know, your glutes, all the stuff that like really, really come into action when you're going up to like 2 hours and 2 hours plus. I highly, highly recommend that. Even if you do it yourself or you get into a group or whatever works for you, but definitely that. And I think those kind of three key elements from mileage, food, S&C really helped, particularly as when it got to like, you know, August, September. Whereas the previous year, I'd go out for 2 hour, 2.5 hour run and I'd be knackered on the Monday.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I'd do it on maybe the weekend. It would take me 2 days to get over that. Whereas last year, I was recovering a lot better. I think those simple things really, really help.
Yeah, sounds brilliant. And then in terms of the strength and conditioning, so once a week, was it like 30, 40 minutes or what?
Yeah, just kind of, I think, yeah, the bones of an hour, like, yeah. But it was just circuit basics, yeah. Stuff. And like, there was no like, using a med ball, dumbbells, stuff like that. Bit of tempo in it as well. So you're kind of out of breath. But it was mainly kind of looking at, you know, your lower limbs, hips, core particularly. And then just simple things that can hold the body together. And I just found that really, really helped.
Yeah, run strong that last couple of miles over the...
And that's it, and yeah. Because like that was the previous year. That's when everything fell apart. Like I lost a minute per K in the last 16K of Dublin in 2022.
Yeah.
And ended up at... I was walking up Clonskee Road.
Yeah.
It was that bad, you know.
You definitely learned from 2020.
And that's the big thing as well, like particularly kind of, you know, pre-long run or pre-half or pre-marathon, fueling up, like definitely fuel up. Like, and that's one thing I did really well in Dublin. You know, the 24 hours, the 48 hours prior the marathon, I was eating like a horse.
Yeah.
You know, eating like a horse, and definitely helped.
So even like, you know, again, your Instagram posts on your S&C, which I would have seen, and you making the smoothies, but it does remind people,
yeah.
It's coming up, just, you know, have that extra smoothie.
But we're busy. This is the thing, like everyone's busy, and a lot of people who might be doing that mileage, you know, whether it's kids, family, work, whatever it might be, you get back in and you could be rushing off somewhere else and you forget.
Yeah.
I'll eat something later on. It's gonna cost you. So even a simple smoothie or getting a banana thrown in a wrap, whatever it might be, is so important. And also in race fueling, so in your training, using the gels on a regular basis, that's
you like a gel on the start line, I think, do you?
A gel on the, I took three gels yesterday in Bohemian.
Okay,
took a gel on the start line, I took a gel at 35 minutes and gel at 65 minutes. You know,
did you take a gel for the podcast interview today, David? No.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I had it all there, ready to roll. Yeah. Got my run in today as well.
Yeah, I saw that your recovery run this morning.
Yeah, I was tired. I'm not going to lie, I'm tired. But no, I those simple things, like, yeah. And I know it's like even like what I did really well in Dublin in the marathon was nailed it down to like every 5 mile, I was trying to eat. Have a gel, and also electrolyte drink as well, you know, and just run with that. And that's what I did yesterday. You need a little bottle of water. I'd run with that for a little bit and just sip, and then get rid. And I think those simple things you should be trying in your long runs, you know, just get into the habit of even fueling up for a long run as well.
Definitely. Brilliant. Thank you for that. So look, I suppose in terms of developing further as a runner? Not to put you under pressure, but people are interested, and I'm sure you've thought about it. Like, any kind of more short to long term goals, or just keep progressing? Or
yeah, like I enjoy definitely like putting in a couple of races. Like, you know, I think that keeps you honest and keeps you focused and gives you something to aim for in the short term. You know, obviously there's Dublin Marathon. I have a busy summer ahead covering the Olympics and stuff like that with RTE. So I'm not, I will do Dublin. I just don't know if I'm going to target it or what. Because we'll have the work done if I'm kind of away an awful lot in the summer. I have signed up for Valencia.
Well, we know if you've done a long one now when we see you on TV.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. He's missing. He's not doing his work. But yeah, like I'm going to do Valencia. And then maybe, yeah, I'm not sure about how I'm going to target Dublin just yet. But in the short term, like, so I've kind of, this is a good start to the year. We're now in March, so I've done a couple of, like the 5 mile, 4 mile, half marathon. I'll go back into kind of change it up a little bit now and maybe go back to the 5 and the 10s, just try and get them right kind of in the springtime, yeah. And then begin to build again kind of like late summer and see where I'm at then.
It'll be interesting to see what Emmett's take is on training for Valencia. Good group going from Lusk, and there's a lot of talk about should you be training on the flat for the flat marathon, or you know, yeah, compared to Dublin.
See, again, these are the little things that, like, do we, like, the overall thing I would say is you got to get that consistency of work. I think the nitty gritty bits, okay, adding in hills and stuff like that, like there's no harm in it, but I think if you're hitting the numbers first and foremost, all that other stuff will come. Yeah. Okay, I think you know, right about now, if people, because I know there's a lot of people targeting Valencia because fast times there last year. Yeah. I think it's a good opportunity now, and we spoke about this on kind of the Instagram Live, is like periodizing things a little bit. You know, give yourself a bit of a break, change your training up a little bit now. Like, if it's an auto marathon or if it's kind of like a winter marathon at the end of the year, you have an opportunity now just to kind of change things up a little bit. And again, it's keeping the long run in, maybe hitting your kind of your 2 hour run once a month, just to keep that side going. But also from, you know, a fueling strategy, you know, using your gels for your long runs. But your 90 minutes, 70 minutes, those runs should be kind of on a weekly basis. And then a bit of speed into the legs and just change it up, keep it fresh. Yeah, like a 5K, you're going from half marathon, now target a 5K, try and get my times down over that, and then build again, you know.
Yeah.
But I like races. I like racing. I like having, you know, 6 weeks go bang. Okay,
that's the exciting bit.
That's the exciting bit. It is, and it keeps you focused, I think, as well. Otherwise, it's too long without racing, you know.
Yeah, great stuff. So, look, I'm targeting the Masters World 80 Marathon.
Right.
But I'm joking. But any plans to get an Irish best on again?
Ah, no, like, God.
I think isn't the World Championships in Budapest, the Masters are
coming. Is it? Yeah.
Yeah, you could do the over 60s marathon.
Get yourself over 60s, yeah.
You're a long way off.
I have a few years to go for that. No, it's, you know, like, I am competitive with myself, right? And that's the thing, like, you know, but I suppose, again, like, I've come from a sport that's literally, like, it took everything to get to Olympic Games, to, you know, European indoors and stuff like that. And to run like very fast over 400, it takes everything, and it's all in, like, it's all consuming, and it's great and it's fantastic, but I love running out for recreation. Yeah. Like, I enjoy the fact that, you know, I don't have to like weigh out my food, and I don't have to like be really, you know, strategic about things. I like having an element of freedom and just kind of going with it and having a bit of fun. And if anything, that's got me back in love with the sport. You know, I think when you're at the very elite and the kind of the sharp end of the sport, and it defines you, it can be hard, and it can be stressful, and it can be emotional, and all those things that come with it. So it's nice to just be on that kind of back to full circle. When as a kid, I started running because it was a bit of fun, and you get the nerves before a race, and in the race you think you can't do it, and you pull through. Like, that's the stuff that kind of makes you feel good, and it's nice to be back at that point. So I don't know what'll come. Right now I just enjoy the structure of it, enjoy having a goal, and I think it makes me a better person, better dad, better husband, you know, all that stuff, when I have the opportunity to go out and, you know, do something that I love. It makes me feel good about myself. I think that's very important, you know.
Great stuff. You mentioned social media earlier. I mean, would you kind of feel the extra pressure then on race day because you're, I suppose, you know, you're a fairly well-tracked runner, do you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm sure even for Dublin Marathon that it was,
I think it was the most, probably tracking. I think it was the most tracked in Dublin, yeah, funnily enough, like, you know, but, like, not really, because, like, running is something I've been doing since I was a kid, and I think it goes back to it's organic, it's not forced. Like, everything you see is me doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I'm just putting on the shoes to run out of the house and then coming back in and I haven't done anything. You know, I'm actually
making
going
a smoothie.
Yeah, I'm actually going for a run, and this is the way I live my life, and it's honest. Like, there's times, sometimes, like, let's say over Christmas, you don't post that often because it's Christmas and you're just doing other things. Like, your numbers drop, you know, and like, that's where you can kind of sometimes go, you get a bit of that social media anxiety, you know. And but I would hate to be in a world where that defines me, and I have to create content to keep myself relevant, and I have to come up with stuff just to grab people's attention, and I don't do that. And like, that's where I think there's a divide in social media, when sometimes there is that pressure on an awful lot of people to stay relevant, and you have to kind of keep new things coming out and constantly throwing stuff in people's faces. I don't do that. I do what's kind of natural to me, and if that resonates with people, it resonates with people. So again, like, my numbers on social media wouldn't be as high as other people, but I'd like to think it's credible, and it's the people who follow me are interested in what I'm posting, and getting value, and that's kind of it, you know. But social media plays a massive role in all our worlds now, and you know, I do a lot of work with brands and stuff like that, and you know, various contracts now that I might have all include elements of social media. It's the way of the world, so you kind of have to move with that as well, and I don't mind. I'm just lucky that, you know, health, well-being, mental health are topics that people are interested in, and if I'm in that space and I'm putting stuff out there that resonates with people, well, then it's a win-win.
Great stuff. I've got two more questions.
Yeah,
for you.
So
the second last one is, obviously you have a great coach and mentor in Emmett Dunleavy. Any ambitions to get into coaching or take coaching badges or anything like that?
Yeah, like, I've got my level two with Athletics Ireland already, and I've actually done an endurance. I've done an endurance coach qualification as well. Like, I will, yeah. Like, I'm involved in my local club, Dundrum South Dublin, and I help out with the sprints group up there. Rory and Ed, they have a good crop
of... So adults or juniors or...?
They're kind of like you transitioning from kind of like, you know, 18, 19 into senior ranks. And I enjoy that. Like, I'm probably coaching from afar with them. We've three kids, myself and Charlotte, so they're kind of starting out in their sporting journeys, and I'm coaching my local soccer club with Bradford Rovers with Oscar. Olivia's now up in the GAA club. You know what I mean? You know, we'll
be a busy man for the next
year. So, like, but athletics is something that I will definitely like to get more involved in, and, like, you know, Oscar's in the club now as well, so I'm kind of helping out a little bit with the juvenile athletics there. And I think I enjoy coaching. I enjoy coaching kids, you know, like adults, yeah, I can help out there, but I think when you see the raw talent that kids can possess, it's fantastic. And when you see a natural athlete, like, of which we have, you know, our challenge as a sport is to try and keep them engaged in it. We're always up against the bigger sports, and the more competitive on a weekly basis sports. So we just got to give opportunity to our young athletes. I was out in the Spree Games recently in Abbottstown, and it was great, you know, to see kids from under nine, you know, under 10s, having fun, getting engaged with their friends, team environment, and even watching, like, you know, kids getting nervous, you know, nervous for it, but yet they pull through and they get through. I love that.
Yeah, that's development.
That's development. Yeah. That's it. And I think exposing kids to a certain level of competition is a great thing. And for me, that's the side that I'd love to get more involved in, and hopefully I will do in the coming years.
Brilliant, yeah. So good luck with that. That sounds fantastic. And then the last question is, kind of, how is your involvement with... your more recent involvement with Irish road running kind of impacted you personally? And you touched on it a bit, I'm sure.
Yeah, like, I do. I love it. I like the buzz, the atmosphere. It's great. Like, even yesterday, you know, it wasn't a great day and everyone's huddled into the hall there. And there's just a buzz, that kind of anticipation. And like, there's no egos and stuff. People are out there just to try and better themselves and improve on their own personal best. And I love that, you know, because that's the essence of the sport. Like, we can all get caught up with, you know, trying to run faster times and medals and all that sort of crack. But I think when you see it in its true form of just people coming from all over and the various clubs and teams and stuff like that, it's brilliant. And, you know, even after my first Dublin Marathon, I remember saying to Charlotte, like, oh, I'm going to do another one. What do you think? And I was like, oh, I was waiting for it. Like, oh, no, you're not. Like, but she actually turned around and she said, yeah, I think you should. I think you're a better person for being out and being active and running and challenging yourself. And I think that's what it's all about, you know?
Yeah, perfectly said. That's fantastic. Absolutely. We could definitely all be doing a lot worse things.
Of course we could. And I think that's it. Like, yeah. You know, I find running for me is... that's my space, you know what I mean? I don't run with music anymore. I used to run with music because I felt I needed the motivation. Now, I love, you know, and particularly this time of year, early spring, you know, the smell of fresh cut grass.
The birds are singing.
You know, and that's been present. And for me, that's when I muddle through all the stuff in my head and you get a bit of clarity. You come home and the endorphins and you just feel better about yourself. And it's kind of, that's my therapy.
Yeah, brilliant. David, honestly, thanks very much for coming to chat to us. We really appreciate it. And of course, you're always welcome in Lusk for the 4 mile.
Yeah.
Or for any, come join a session.
Yeah. Just keep it at 4 mile now.
We'll keep it at 4 mile. Yeah. That's our niche for sure. And have a great year running and good luck with the coaching and with Dundrum. Thanks very much.
Nice one. And thanks for having me on. And appreciate the invite to Lusk. And to everyone from Lusk that is listening, wish you all the best for the year ahead.
Brilliant. Thank you.
All right.
Really great to chat to David, who was also very generous with his time. Next up, we have Julie's interview with Claire Davis.
I'm delighted to have Claire Davis here with me today, one of my marathon training buddies, who is also the run director at the Lusk Junior Park Run. She's also a park run enthusiast who loves involving the whole family on her outings. Claire, you're very welcome on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Julie.
I think we had you on very briefly after the Recce and Brekkie.
That's
correct. You were one of our Vox Pops, but this is a proper interview this time.
Thank you for having me. So,
can you share your story on how you got your journey, how you got into running, what kind of when and how you started in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely. My very first attempt at running was really back in about maybe 2009-2010. At the time I was working for a company in Shannon in County Clare that was getting all of us into exercise. We actually had a program at the time called Shannon Shape Up, and we were all in groups trying to just increase our physical activity.
Yeah.
And over time, various bunches of us were deciding to get involved in events, and my own team, the IT team, decided to participate at the very first, the inaugural Great Limerick Run that's still running now, and we were all going to do the 10K, and we actually fundraised for Chernobyl. And the only thing I do remember was I remember kind of running parts of it, but actually walking most of it. And I think it took me an hour and a half. And I did another 10K at Shannon a couple of weeks later, but that was it for me. I mean, there wasn't a chance of a warm up. Forget it. I mean, the cool down was let's just head to the pub.
Yeah.
And so I didn't enjoy it, and I didn't really do anything about running after that.
Yeah.
I ended up kind of when I ended up moving to the UK shortly after that, really. And with my company there, I ended up doing kind of more hill walking.
Okay.
Did the Yorkshire Three Peaks.
Yeah.
I did manage to do one of them in the 12-hour challenge.
Yeah.
But that was just walking events. I didn't really come back into running again until after I had my second child. Actually, she was nearly 18 months by the time I started.
Yeah.
It was in the summer of 2019. And it was how I'd gone to see my dental hygienist for a clean. And she actually had just finished a coaching course with her local club, Abingdon Athletics, and they were running a Couch to 5K training group.
Yeah,
so for the few minutes while she was cleaning my teeth, she was just talking so enthusiastic.
Yeah.
So enthusiastically about running that And I couldn't really talk, obviously. She'd all her implements in my mouth and was saying how amazing it was. I didn't have a chance to say, no, I don't agree. I had a terrible time the last time I tried.
Yeah.
And by the time we finished, she was like, okay, I've signed you up.
Yeah.
And you have to turn up. And that was it for me. I had totally grabbed the running bug.
Was that in the UK?
That was in the UK. That was back where I used to live in Abingdon.
Yeah.
So I turned up every Saturday morning, and it was actually at the same location that the Abingdon Park run takes place, on the banks of the Thames. So fabulous run. But for the first few weeks of the training of the Couch to 5K course, we would do our warm up while watching everyone assemble for parkrun, and then we would head out the opposite direction.
Okay. Yeah.
And that was mainly because we were doing so much walking and then a little bit of running. And then by about week six, we actually joined in with the main parkrun, and we would scan our barcodes at the end of the run, but we were still doing, you know, so many minutes run, so many minutes walk.
Yeah.
And then finally, by about, I think, was it week eight or week nine, we graduated.
Yeah.
We finished our park run there and we got a medal. And I just continued then to showing up at park runs, running every Saturday and then trying to keep up another one or two runs then during the week. Did a couple of races and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'll always consider saying, I've always stayed a runner since. There'll be periods of time that I won't be running for whatever reason, but I always come back to it, if you know what I mean. I've never given it up like I did the first time.
Yeah. And so when you came back to Ireland then, you joined Lusk?
Yes. So when I first came back to Ireland, I did have to move to County Clare. We couldn't find a place to live in North County Dublin where my husband had his job. So we stayed in County Clare with my mum for a few months. So I kept up my running then, and that's when I decided I might actually do longer distance.
Yeah.
Because I found that Sunday mornings, my long run was just getting longer and longer.
Yeah.
But again, I wasn't training properly. I probably wasn't fueling properly either. And then sometime around, I think April 21, we moved to Dublin. And I slowed down my running again. I was new to the area. I didn't really know where to go for the long runs.
Yeah.
I did meet with a lovely lady, Carol, online, and we would go for runs around Swords and Lusk together.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really going above the 10K mark. And then sometime, I think around late 2022, I ended up joining Lusk Athletic Club.
Yeah.
And then that's when I kind of started properly doing fueling, and by then I had been into Dublin to see Carol run the Dublin Marathon in 2022, and just seeing that, I decided that's it, I'm gonna do the marathon.
So amazing.
I signed up, and then once I joined the club, then I started falling in with you guys for the training runs and things like that.
Yeah, brilliant. So what have been your kind of main running highlights then? Was the marathon one of your highlights?
It was. And I mean, I think I described it as horror when we were all thinking about signing up again for the following year.
Yeah.
It was definitely a highlight, but I'm firmly in the one and done camp.
Okay.
I mean, one of my highlights doing the marathon was one of the guys from St. Coca's, I think, Athletics Club, coming up to me saying, Your podcast is amazing. And I'm like, I think you'd overtaken me at this stage. Yeah. You'd gone past me. And I'm like, oh, the lady who does it is just gone. Can you catch up with her? And it was lovely just because he, I think it was the podcast we'd released a couple of weeks.
The marathon one,
where you had the nutritionist and the psychologist on. And he was like retelling me all these details about what a great podcast it was. So that was really lovely to
hear.
That's
nice.
You know? Because obviously you're wearing the club vest, so everyone knows what club you're with.
Yeah.
It was definitely a highlight for me. It was tough. I found it very, very difficult.
Yeah.
But I was delighted to have done it. And I just made my time target, which was just within the 5 hours.
Yeah, brilliant. And are you happy to share your story about your diagnosis as well and why that might have impacted on it being such a challenge for you?
Yeah, absolutely. When I was doing the Couch to 5K with the Abingdon Athletic Group, I around about maybe week three or four, I started to get these strange sensations in my feet.
Mm.
And of course, when you're doing a kind of a Couch 5K, you've done all the warm up and you've done all the talking about the right type of trainers to wear and things like that. So I suppose I initially thought it was just my trainers. So I tried to kind of, you know, get them checked out and things. And the discomfort didn't go. I mean, it wasn't quite pins and needles. It was just unusual.
Mm.
And then I remember talking to the dental hygienist, Sander, and are saying to me, well, actually, go see your doctor. That's not normal.
Yeah.
That's not your shoes.
Yeah.
Go see someone. And before I got a chance to, actually, the discomfort got worse and it moved up along my legs.
Mm.
And eventually it was affecting the whole lower part of my body.
Mm.
Strange sensations. I couldn't quite feel them properly. And eventually it did turn into pins and needles and it started to affect my the sensations of my bladder. And then I went to see my doctor. He panicked a bit, thought it was a different condition,
yeah,
and sent me for an MRI. I mean, it was another week or two before I got the MRI. And when I did, there was enough lesions on my brain and spine for them to make a fairly definite diagnosis of multiple sclerosis,
okay,
relapsing and remitting.
Yeah.
But even then, as they were kind of giving me the diagnosis, they were still very positive about it and saying, you know, there's so much medication and so many options, treatment, yeah, options out there now. For the relapsing and remitting type of MS, there's quite a good prognosis.
Yeah.
And I remember asking him, what about my running? And he was like, yeah, yeah, absolutely, keep going.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Just manage your fatigue.
Yeah.
And those are probably the main two conditions I deal with having MS is fatigue, and sometimes I can get funny sensations in my feet.
Yeah.
So it just means that when I am training for something, so I'm now going back to Limerick to do,
yeah,
Great Limerick Run again.
Yeah, in a few weeks' time, is it?
Yeah, fifth of May.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the half marathon this time and I'm hoping to get under the 2 hours.
Yeah.
But like that, I just have to manage the fatigue. So I find myself managing my expectations, and for me, getting to the start line is the win anyway.
Mm, exactly,
I'd love to do the 2 hours, no more than I would have loved to have gone a bit faster at the Dublin Marathon, but I want to enjoy the journey on the way there and just set myself the expectation that whatever I can get done is still a massive achievement.
Absolutely,
and
yeah,
not focus too much on time.
Yeah,
I'm not that kind of runner anyway.
Yeah,
I
it's hard though, because a lot of people do focus on time, and I think the thing is that we probably, you know, we obsess too much about it, but other people don't really care.
This is it. Yeah. Nobody really cares. Absolutely.
You know,
and I mean, I'm a massive fan of the chatty runs.
Yeah,
I think if you ever turn up to club run on a Tuesday or Thursday, the chances are I'm going to be saying, come on for a chatty run with,
yeah,
me, rather than doing any actual...
any hard sessions.
Stuff, you,
yeah,
know?
Yeah. So, like, are there any specific challenges that you faced? Like, you know, did you think that, you know, your MS diagnosis had an impact on your marathon experience? Or would you say that was just would have been a tough thing for everyone?
No, I don't think my MS made any difference,
yeah,
to be honest. I mean, the actual thing that made the most difficulty on the day was I probably didn't fuel properly,
yeah,
on the morning.
Yeah.
I probably went eating far too much carbs that morning, the breakfast we had in that lovely hotel.
Yeah.
I remember eating like 2 or 3 bagels that I wouldn't normally have eaten the morning of a long run. So
yeah,
I just didn't heed the advice correctly, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think my MS made a whole lot of difference.
Yeah.
It was more the long runs. So when we're getting up early in the morning, the biggest worry was that I might wake up during the night. The medication I'm on, unfortunately, does affect me in terms of insomnia.
Yeah.
I do get, sometimes there will be, and for no reason, and there's no rhyme or reason, so I can't plan for it.
Yeah.
Which, my former job was a project manager, so it can be very, very difficult to kind of let go of control. But I kind of found myself sometimes having to just go, look, I've been up for hours during the night, there's no way I can go on the long run.
Yeah.
And then having to either split it into 2 runs. But, you know, it was manageable. It was OK.
Yeah.
That was, yeah, I think the fatigue is probably the biggest concern when you have MS and you're a runner, really.
Yeah. And what motivates you then to lace up those running shoes on those moments when you're feeling, you know, that you don't have the energy?
Well, I suppose so. Some of it would be if I've agreed to go out on a run with some of you guys, I'm gonna go and that's it.
Yeah.
The other motivation would be I'm a little bit pig-headed. I'm very much I'm determined. If I want to do it, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, the other side effect of my medication is that I can pick up illnesses quite easily.
Okay.
The medication I'm on is a disease modifying treatment. So the idea is it tries to slow the progression of MS. Yeah. And unfortunately, while it does that, it does make you more susceptible to colds and flus.
Yeah.
So there's a chance that I could have just picked up a mild cold bug that most of you will clear in a day or two. It could take me a week.
Yeah.
And that's just one of the other challenges.
Yeah.
And those days, I tend to just try and just readjust my training.
Yeah.
And try not to go out too hard when you do get back.
Yeah.
And you're better off to just get miles in the legs, even if they're slow and steady, rather than going back to do whatever tempo or speed run you have.
Leave
it out and just get
ease back in gently.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me about your love of park runs. That obviously started over in the UK.
It did.
In Abington. Yeah. So
absolutely. So like I mentioned earlier, when you finished the Couch to 5K, you graduated a park run, and I found myself coming back to the Abington park run most Saturdays then. But then of course COVID hit, so then park run was stopped. And when I came back to Ireland, by the time I got started back up, I was now living up in Lusk. So I started running at Donabate. And then Carol and I would do Summit River Valley.
Yeah,
I did Ardgillan. And I just really enjoyed trying the different park runs. And then at some point, someone mentioned to me that there was actually an app out there.
Oh, okay.
Where you could track your progress. And I mean, that totally fits.
This is project manager. There's an Excel spreadsheet there as well, isn't there?
Oh, what spreadsheet, This is
spreadsheet and an app.
No. I'm incredibly addicted to this app. Like, I mean, you know, the way everyone goes in and checks their emails. I'm like, I'm into the 5K app as soon as I've done my park run.
So what's the app called?
So the app is just called the 5K app. So
right.
If you go into the Play Store or the Apple App Store and just search for 5K, you should find it. And you basically put in your barcode, and then it'll give you all your data from every time you've been a park run, whether you volunteered or not. And then there's a whole section around challenges, and that's the one I'm currently doing, which is the alphabet challenge. And it's to attend a park run for every letter of the alphabet, with the exception of X. I know. I'm looking at your face, Julie.
Yeah. I'm just like to think of where the Z is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, almost like collecting medals, but you know, without having to worry about where to store them.
You've already done A anyway, have you?
Yeah, I've done A. So I've done nearly, I think I've only about 6 or 7 letters left.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's how many I've managed.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's a few you can't do in Ireland. So you can't do a Q. Well, not in the Republic. You can go up to Belfast.
Yeah.
Then you have to go to England to do, or further afield if you want to get the Y, and then you've got to either go to the Netherlands or to Poland to get the Z.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's a great excuse. Oh, no, I need to go abroad for a weekend away. So my hope is to finish the alphabet challenge by the end of the year, and by then I should hopefully be up to 100 park runs as well, and I get my much coveted 100 park run t-shirt as well.
Brilliant.
Black colour.
Oh, very nice. And how did you get involved in the Lusk Junior Park Run then?
So that one comes more from the school my children attend. So one of the mums there from the Parent and Guardians and Teachers Association, the PGTA, she was in the process of setting one up.
Yeah.
And because of COVID, it had all been slowed down, and she was looking for people to help out. So I messaged Siobhan and said, look, I'm a huge fan of parkrun. I'd love to help out.
Yeah.
And she didn't say no. She said, yeah, I'm definitely looking for run directors. So the junior parkrun is a 2K event, whereas the adult ones it's a 5K, and that one is run on a Saturday, whereas the junior one is Sunday mornings. But because it's a 2K event, they tend to be easier in terms of finding a location to set up. So we have ours at the Hub, where we also do our training on Tuesday and Thursday nights. It just means we have to do 3 laps, unfortunately, of the smaller section. But it's at 9:30, and it's just a really lovely, fun event for kids. The age range is 4 to 14.
Yeah.
After that, we don't scan the barcodes, but obviously you're welcome to come along if you wanted to.
Yeah.
And we never say no to volunteers. and it's just a lovely place for the kids to have a nice run.
Yeah, how long has that been running for? That's reasonably
new. It's nearly 2 years.
Oh, is it? Wow. Okay. Yeah, so
coming up to 2 years now this summer.
Yeah.
And we do take part in the St. Paddy's Day parade.
Yeah.
And so we just basically bring all our gear.
Yeah, yeah.
We wear all the high vis with all the with the marshal details on it.
Yeah.
And then we just carry our signs. Again, it's you know, it's to show the community what we have.
Yeah.
And it's a free event. You know, what's free these days?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Absolutely. And so you've got quite a bit of family, your own family getting involved. How do they contribute to helping you?
Absolutely. So my husband gets dragged along. Unfortunately, I drag him along to do marshalling for us or to do tail walking. And he does that with our son, Fiacra, who has cerebral palsy and uses a wheelchair.
Yeah.
So Fiacra actually now prefers to just marshal because he finds it boring going round doing the tail walking.
Yeah.
He prefers to sit and watch the kids as they're running past and either take photos or just, you know, cheer them on. Now I do run sometimes with Fiacra in a specialised buggy, the Delta buggy, sometimes, but not very, very common.
Yeah.
Whereas at the junior park on itself, he tends to just prefer to be the marshal.
Yeah.
Along with his dad. And then my daughter, Sinead, likes to participate. Sometimes she'll do the warm up with me.
Yeah.
But more often than not, she prefers to run the 2K.
Yeah. And any particularly kind of standout moments or sort of memorable stories from organising the run?
From junior park.
Yeah.
I mean, presenting Sinead so we give the children wristbands when they do a certain number of runs. So when they do the 11 runs, we give them a half marathon wristband because it adds up to nearly 21K. Obviously, it's over 11 runs.
Yeah.
We're not going to get a four-year-old doing a half marathon. So they get a little wristband and a presentation. And you know, we take photos and we make a bit of a deal for them. But when she got her half marathon wristband, it was a different run director. It was Siobhan that presented her. But when she got her marathon, when she did 21, I got to present her. And actually, my husband had brought his decent digital DSLR camera that day. So there's a lovely photo of me presenting it to her. And then later on, when she's doing the run, I think she does a little jump in front of the camera.
Aww.
So there's just some lovely pictures from that day. That's probably the standout one I can think of.
Yeah.
We had some other, like we did a lovely first birthday party, and we did a summer party where we got some of the companies in the area donated stuff. So Fife's gave us bananas and Kyo's gave us crisps. Lovely party for the kids, and it was fabulous.
So what would you say to someone who's thinking, you know, has kids in the local area, doesn't know how to kind of get started or get going? They just turn up?
Turn up. We typically ask people to turn up around maybe 9:15, 9:20, because at about 9:25 we'll do a briefing and a warm-up. So during the briefing, I'll take everyone through the general information. So where I'll advise people to stay on the footpaths.
Mm.
You know, to be courteous to other users of the path of the park.
Mm.
And then, you know, just letting them know how the run is going to go.
Yeah.
And typically that I'm there if anyone has any questions. And we've marshals all around the court, all around the course, so the children won't get lost, and they're always within sight of an adult.
Yeah.
So, you know, never feel like you have to run with your child. Just come along, your child get into the group with the rest of the kids, and there's always someone around, and then there's a tail walker to make sure that no one gets excluded or dropped out or anything like that.
Yeah Brilliant. It sounds like a bit of fun, and hopefully tire them out.
yes that's it.
so what's next for you? What's you know, what are your kind of aspirations for the future? You know, you said you probably won't do a marathon, you're one and done, so you know, what do you think is in the future for you in terms of your running? And
so no more marathons for me, definitely. I mean, one of the things I didn't mention earlier was that I was quite proud of fundraising for MS Ireland last year, and I raised €1,400.
That's brilliant.
So I'm kind of like, I think I had a good time at the marathon, and I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah.
In case the next chance would be absolutely horrendous.
So maybe it's like childbirth, you just need a couple of years to get over it, and then you'll go, oh, that was actually not so bad.
No, definitely not. So yeah, for me, marathon done and dusted. I do want to get my half marathon time down, because my half marathon PB is actually from the marathon, because I went out a bit too fast with Helen McGay, and I ended up doing it in like 2 hours 15, and then the rest of the marathon took me like 2 hours 45.
Yeah.
So I would like to get that time down a bit at the Great Limerick Half, and then after that I'd like to get my 10k time down, but then concentrate on my 5k.
Okay. Yeah.
My 5k, my park runs, they were my first love for running.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go back to that, get a bit faster at it, but you know, not take on too much either. I mean, in terms of what I've achieved, I'm really, really happy with the year I had last year. I think I beat all my PBs.
Yeah.
I was really, really happy with it. So I'm very much in the case of, I'll only pick up a race if I want to try and get the time faster. Otherwise, I'm just going to participate to have fun.
Yeah, really. Yeah. That sounds like a good idea. Brilliant. So just finally, any sort of tips or practices you have that helps you recharge and maintain your kind of energy levels and balance in your life?
Like, one of the big takeaways I have from training with you guys and from being part of Losk Athletic Club is all around minding myself. So like, I know we all bang on about a warm up and a cool down and foam rolling, but they would be my go-tos for staying at the level I'm at with running.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm very proud to say I've never had injuries. I've constantly been sick. And unfortunately, that's more going back to the MS. But I'm happy to say I've never had an injury that's had me out of running. Not for any other reason than I think that I just don't push myself hard enough.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely happy that I mind myself so that I don't... That I don't end up with an injury, I think.
Yeah. And so let's say you get to the start line of the Great Limerick Race, which I'm sure you will do. You get to the finish line, no matter what the time is. How are you going to celebrate that?
I'm going to go to the pub, Julie. Yeah. Let's be honest. That'll be my cool down.
Yeah.
Just a nod back to the last time I did it 14 years ago.
Brilliant. That sounds like a plan. Listen, thanks so much for taking part. Really appreciate it. It's been a really good chat.
Thank you so much for having me, Julie. Right. I really enjoyed it.
Brilliant.
Really enjoyed Julie's interview with Claire. We all love our chatty runs. Also, if there's interest, I've added a link to the Junior Park Run website on our programme notes. Obviously, there are junior park runs throughout the country, so do check out that link. Next up, some Vox Pops from the Lusk 4 Mile with Edeny Donal and Mick Clossy naturally leading proceedings.
Congratulations. That's an amazing achievement. So how was the race experience for you today?
It was good. I haven't raced since cross country, so I wanted to get a race. I'm running a half marathon in Lisbon in 2 weeks' time.
Oh, lovely.
So I just wanted to, so I decided last minute to run this race. And it was lovely, no wind, so delighted with that.
Yeah.
And the course was good. You know, you're kind of a few climbs here and there.
Yeah.
But a good support, a lot of people out, so it was fun.
And if you could describe your race in 3 emojis, which emojis would you use?
I don't use emojis very often. One smiley face, one very painful face, and one relieved face.
Brilliant, thanks very much. What was the highlight of the race for you today?
Well, it's just a great atmosphere out here in Lusk. I think it's 5 years since I was last out here, 2019 possibly, when this really cold snow, freezing rain came in.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
Just a great, great buzz. And the highlight as well for me, one of the highlights is just getting back racing, because I've been struggling with injuries from on and off for a good while now, so I just needed to get back, and I saw the Lusk on the calendar, so it's a good one to come out and get going again. So,
brilliant. Yeah. And did you have any sort of mantras in your own head as you were running around?
Just get to that finish line, because 4 miles for me, coming from being a marathon runner, four miles is quite short.
Yeah.
So you're kind of I have a bag, thanks, out of my comfort zone a bit, so it was just kind of keep strong. And the thing with 4 miles I find is once you get the 2 miles out of the way, you're in the second half and you're on the way home. So it's just to keep the focus on it, because as I said, I hadn't raced in a while, so mentally I needed to get back in that zone, so I was happy enough now.
So post race, what's the plan?
As in now this evening?
Yeah, as in now this evening.
Cook them spuds that we got maybe in the bag, but get a takeaway of some sort. And I always get a takeaway on a Sunday. So.
Yeah.
But a beautiful day out here as well, actually, compared to some of the weather we've had lately. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're very lucky with the weather. Well, thank you very much.
No problem.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
How was your race experience today?
Great race experience. Crowd around the course was fantastic. The sounds being pumped by Darren, brilliant. Great day, nice, cool, perfect running weather. Great day.
It was a great day for it. And if you could describe your race in three emojis, what three emojis would you use? It's a good one.
Smiley face emoji. Yeah. Race day, Lusk AC, great event.
Yeah.
Steam coming off the head emoji and tired emoji, I guess.
Brilliant. And what's going to be your post-race reward?
Going for a bit of cake now and maybe a cheeky pint later.
Yeah.
All going well.
Brilliant. Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Cheers. Okay, so if your race had a soundtrack, what song would be playing as you cross the finish line?
What song would I play as I cross the finish line? Well, I'll tell you what I am, right? Now, this won't appeal to an awful lot of people, but I'm a big Rush fan, right?
Okay.
And they have a song called Marathon, which would be absolutely perfect for me.
Okay, yeah. And what would, if you could describe the race in three emojis?
Three emojis?
What three emojis did you use to describe the race?
Well, thumbs up one, a happy one, and a sweaty one.
Brilliant. Thanks very much. So, is this your first time running the Lusk for a mile?
Yes.
How did you get on?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it was good. There was a few unexpected little slight hills, which made it a bit tougher. But, I felt it went really well. The crowd was really good.
Yeah.
Pushed us on as usual. So.
I think going around twice, you kind of know on the second what you have to do. So, it's like, you know that little hill is coming. So, you kind of take yourself back to be able to run that up that hill. Yeah. Thing, yeah.
And what are you going to do to treat yourselves now that you've done this?
Probably a Chinese or some kind of takeaway.
Like that. A cup of tea. That's what I need now at the minute. It was really well organised, actually, and it was a pleasure to do. So well done.
Yeah, we'll do it again, definitely.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Is this your first time running the race?
No, I ran it. We ran it a few times. 2019 was the last time we ran it.
Brilliant. Yeah. So how did you find this year?
Lovely. Weather was perfect for this year. Because been a few years of bad weather out here, but well supported. The little girl playing the fiddle on the roundabout was a lovely touch. So well done to us.
Yeah.
All right. Lovely race, yeah.
And if you could describe your race in three emojis, what emojis would you use?
The anxiety one. What the hell am I doing? Why am I here? And I'm thrilled it's over now.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. So yeah, so tell me about yourself and why you came to the 4 miles today.
Yeah, so I'm from Donabate and I run an outdoor boot camp called Mojo Fitness.
Very good.
And so the last couple of years we've been doing the Lusk 4 mile as a group run for a little spring goal, you know. And so around 20 of us were down to do the run today, but I think there was about 10, 11 of us in the end that made the start line, which the hardest part nearly sometimes. But we like this run because it's nice and local.
Yeah.
And the atmosphere is always brilliant. It's really well organised and it starts on time.
Yeah.
And you know, the last couple of years, we don't know if it's going to be snowing.
Yeah.
It's going to be sunstroke weather. So for it to start on time is really good. Yeah. So we enjoy the race a lot.
And what was the highlight of the race for you overall, do you think?
I just think it's seeing people here that you know from all different clubs. And it's the atmosphere, and people are just happy, you know, happy to get out and do a run. And the atmosphere is great, people are lovely, there's cheering from the sidelines, and it's just a good environment.
Okay, and what are you going to treat yourself to now after doing the race?
I'm going to go in there for a slice of cake.
Yeah.
Oh, I shouldn't have said that on the podcast.
I know, I talk.
Yeah.
Going off and treating yourself.
Yeah,
fair play to you.
Absolutely.
Well done. Thanks very much. Okay, congratulations. First lady home for Lusk. Well done. And how was your overall race experience?
It was great. No, I felt good. I felt comfortable. I was planning to go out and not look at my watch and run by my feel. And that's exactly what I did. And pushing the last kilometre. And I just loved every minute. Honestly, it was great.
Okay. So if you could describe your race experience in three emojis, which three emojis would you say?
Okay. I need to look at the emojis. Hold on a second. The race. This will be edited, presumably. Let me see. What mode? Oh my god, my emojis are filthy. No.
That's definitely going in.
Blue heart for Lusk.
Yeah.
Okay, and what else? Fire emoji, because it was just such a fantastic route with the atmosphere. And I suppose, oh, I know this is really sappy, but the emoji with the love hearts, because I just loved it. Like, it was so nice.
Brilliant. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you as always for tuning in. We really appreciate your support and hope you enjoyed the show. I'd like to thank our guests, David Gillick and Claire Davis, and all the contributors to our Vox Pops. I'd also like to thank the Lusk AC podcast team, Colin Brown, Julie Griffith, Nicole Hodson, Dwayne Moore, Sean Smith, and Colin Wall. We'd love to hear your feedback and suggestions. You can contact us at luskacpodcast@gmail.com. All the best from Lusk AC.